is the Venny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Zickadoo, 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 zickadee. Zicka is just an hour of this. That's all it is, to be honest. I haven't written anything, so I thought I could wing this one. Zickadee, zickadoo. No, let's get on with it. You are listening to The Venny White Show here, live and direct on News Talk 1010. A Swiss roll of news and creamy opinion rolled up and sprinkled with comedy and a little whimsical wanderings. It's a look back at the week's news. And we'll sort of, because it's Sunday, which is always a bit, particularly if you don't like your job, we'll put everything through a filter of happiness and just ignore all the really sad stuff, apart from Trump, which is always sad, but, you know, at least it's predictable. I mean, he's not, but it's predictable that he said the wrong thing. In the same way that your racist granddad, you don't really want him to come to dinner with your new black girlfriend because it's just not going to work. And your racist granddad has got the listening ability of the worst half of Vincent van Gogh. So we'll look at that. We'll also look at spam email. I'm getting more and more of it every day, so thanks for that, whoever's sending it to me, and what you can do about it. And we'll also look around the world at all the latest goings on, including what's going on in Australia. Apparently they're deliberating gay marriage. Yes, you're listening to this in 2017. The Australians still discussing it. Here's the news. It's going to happen. Why? Because it has everywhere else, including New Zealand next door, years ago, Canada, more than 10 years ago. If you can put a bet on it, I very much recommend getting yourself down to the local bookies and putting a bet on it. But I don't think they're going to give you fantastic odds. Oh, it's a bit of a sore subject, actually. I shouldn't have brought up gambling. I decided to buy some Bitcoin this week. Well, actually, technically, it was last week, and which was, I thought, a great time to buy. And, I checked in on it this week, and I've lost hundreds. Great! If you don't know what Bitcoin is, don't worry, nor do I. Someone said it would be a really good idea to invest in it. What could possibly go wrong? They described it as a currency that goes up and down like a prostitute's knickers. And I thought, well, that sounds good. Yeah, turns out, in the world of finance, that's not necessarily a good thing. Very much so, in fact, because it seems to have gone very much down and has yet to come back up. So I've lost a load of money. Bitcoin is a cryptocurrency. There's plenty of other ones available as well. So I thought I'd diversify my portfolio and invest not in just Bitcoin, but a different one called Ethereum and another one called Ripple. And they've all done really badly. So well done me. If you're thinking about wasting some money, why not invest in cryptocurrency? Actually, having said that, it would benefit me if you do buy some cryptocurrency, because the more people that listen to this and buy it, you know, basic supply and demand, the price will rise. So let me just take back everything I've just said and completely lie to you, which is what happens in most adverts. But, you know, at least I'm honest about it. Why don't you buy some cryptocurrency so the cost goes up? It'll be good for you. And more importantly, it'll be good for me. Maybe I can make back all the money that I lost. Sure, cryptocurrency doesn't really exist and it's all incredibly complicated and it's probably on some incredibly massive server on a mining farm somewhere in Iceland, and that doesn't really make any sense whatsoever, but you could make loads of money, and that is actually genuinely true, you could. So, you know, I think most financial advisors say that you should put about 3 to 5% of your portfolio in it. I don't have a portfolio, so I just put all the money that I've got spare into it, which is definitely, definitely a fantastically clever way of investing. And just in case there's any legal repercussions to me saying any of this, this is not real advice. It's actually the opposite of what you should do. Or is it? I think we've all learned a lot here. Have we? No. Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to things I can tell you about. I'm recording this show live from England, which is still just about hanging in the EU. But as you all know, Brexit is looming, and my word, is it organised? No, it's a complete and utter shambles. If you don't know what Brexit is, it's basically like cancelling your Netflix account and then negotiating with each film producer separately to get the best deal for you and your family. Sounds logical? No, it isn't really, and it's been so far a complete disaster. What could possibly go wrong as it looms over us? Possibly with a good old recession. Yay, England!
Anyway, meanwhile in Europe, we have Angela Merkel, who, of course, is the German Chancellor, and it looks like she's here to stay. Yes, another 4 years. Merkel's won the fourth term. That's what the exit polls say, and polls are always right, and that's why they predicted Well, anyway, this one does look quite right, although I take all of them with a wheelbarrow of salt, just to be on the safe side. Chancellor of Germany, Angela Merkel, has been re-elected for the fourth term in federal elections. Conservative Alliance won about 33% of the vote, which is means it remains the largest party in Germany's parliament, according to the poll. However, Mrs. Merkel isn't over the moon. I mean, she's chuffed to be in there, of course, but she hoped for a better result and talked about extraordinary challenges yet ahead of her. She said that she's here to listen, and she's going to listen to all the concerns and anxieties. Angela Merkel remains then the most powerful woman in the world, the leader of the country that drives the European economy, the powerhouse. She's known, by the way, as Mummy, or Mutti, I should say, which means mummy. German supporters call her Mummy. Can't imagine calling Justin Trudeau Daddy. Probably because that would be physically impossible unless he had me at about one. So, Merkel actually has quite an interesting past. I'll give you some Merkel facts in our new and brief feature, Merkel Facts. Facts about the Merkel. Or facts about Mummy, as we should say. Merkel worked as a bartender at disco parties in college, although she wasn't much of a massive party anymore. She is, of course, extraordinarily well-educated. So when she wasn't in the bars partying away, she was certainly studying hard. She's got a degree in physics, a doctorate in quantum chemistry, and some say her success as a politician comes from her very scientific, analytical approach. So basically, she's just like Donald Trump, scientific, sharp, worldly, pragmatic, yes, Donald Trump. Oh, sorry, I misread that. It says Stephen Hawking. After Merkel divorced her first husband, she lived like a squatter in an illegal apartment near a train station. On her 30th birthday, living in that apartment, an illegal sort of warehouse, her father came and met her and said, looking at her squalid surroundings, "You haven't come very far." It's rumoured to be that motivated her to become the most powerful woman in the world. So, dads, if you're having a problem with your kid, just say you haven't come very far and they'll probably turn out to be Chancellor. Probably. On the night the Berlin Wall fell in November 1989, the 35-year-old Merkel visited a sauna. Afterwards, she wandered around and went across the border, like most Germans did, that were near the possibility of doing so. While everyone partied hard into the stupid hours of the next day, she had one beer and immediately went home as she wouldn't be tired for work the next day. And I like that. That's what you want in a leader. A little bit of drinking. I mean, let's be honest, Trump needs to drink. The fact that he is a teetotaler. Have a pint. Have seven. You're not going to do worse. Come in absolutely smashed. As smashed as whoever does your spray tan and forgets your eyes. Maybe they just do it to piss him off. Who can blame them? It's just one little comeback. Merkel is reportedly a very good cook. She makes a mean plum cake, which I think is one of the most German things I've ever heard since Umpaar and Lederhosen. A plum cake. Actually sounds quite good. She's afraid of dogs. That's an interesting fact about Angela Merkel. She's afraid of dogs. She was bitten by one in 1995, and Vladimir Putin has repeatedly used his pet dogs to try and intimidate Merkel, because he knows this. What is he like, old Vladimir? He couldn't be more of a Bond villain unless he carried a circular saw and a tank of sharks around with his white cat whilst living in a volcano. Who intimidates people with dogs? Old Vladimir. Brilliant. Anyway, she's in and she ain't going anywhere. Congratulations, Mrs. Merkel. Mrs. Merkel is probably not, I'm not being rude. I'm just going to be frank because she's, you know, in her fourth term. She's aged a bit. I think if anything's going to wear you down, it's the position that she's been in. So really, all things accounted for, she's looking pretty damn good. But I wouldn't say she's gorgeous. But that made me think. Leaders. Who is gorgeous? Well, obviously, our own Canadian dreamboat. But how gorgeous is he? And is he gorgeous in the eyes of everyone? So today I asked my niece, she's 5, and she's one of the cutest things you've ever seen, and you're about to hear. Just what does an actual leader look like? Let's get the lowdown. We're checking in with Isabel. She's 5, and she's about to tell us. Okay, I'm going to show you a picture of someone, and you have to tell me what you think, okay? First of all, what's your name?
Isabel.
How old are you?
5.
Okay, 5-year-old Isabel. This is a picture of Justin Trudeau. Describe what you see.
A man.
What does he look like?
He has white eyes.
He has what eyes? White eyes?
Yeah, white. He's ugly.
He's ugly? Oh, well, okay. Well, now I'm going to show you a picture of a guy called Donald Trump. And I want you to tell me what you think of that guy. So I'm going to get him up here on my phone. Describe what you see when you see this man. What do you see? Describe
a man picture. And he looks so ugly.
So is he more ugly than the last man, or is he better looking?
He's so ugly.
He's so ugly. What about if I show you this one, where he looks very serious? It's the same man. He looks very serious. Do you think he's... What do you think of that?
His hair is white.
His hair is white, yeah. Does he look like Daddy?
No. I don't like him, man. He has 2 tins.
There you go. 5-year-old's opinion. Now, a lot of life isn't about looks. It's about actions.
Very
you have to be about here. So here's my question to you. Do you think he'd be a good politician? Do you think he'd be good at his job?
No.
Why do you think that?
Because he's ugly.
But you don't have to be good looking to be a politician. So, okay, I'm going to show you one more person.
Does he play football?
Does he play football? No, I don't think he does play football.
He's fat.
This is a picture of another person. Describe. So this is Theresa May. So can you describe this person, please?
It's a woman.
Okay. Is she good looking? Is she cool? Does she look like mummy?
She's ugly.
She's ugly. Okay. Not doing very well so far, most politicians. Now, do you think she's good at her job?
No.
Why not? Is it because, I'm going to guess, but you tell me, why do you think she's not good at her job?
Because she's ugly.
Unbelievable. Right, so there you are. That's a 5-year-old's world. Now I'm going to show you a picture then of a model. And this woman is called Megan Fox. All right. Megan Fox is an actress. Okay. And I want you to tell me.
She's a woman.
She's a woman, okay.
And she's pretty.
She's a pretty woman. So do you think she's good at her job?
Yeah.
Why?
Because she's pretty.
Right, okay. I think we need to talk about something. Looks aren't that important, or they shouldn't be, when it comes to politicians. It's decisions that they make, you see. Thank you for your help, Isabel. Okay, next question. Why am I so good looking?
Because you're ugly.
Brilliant. United States President and professional full-time arsehat Donald Trump decided to controversially rescind an invite to the NBA champions. He invited them and then he didn't because he didn't get his own way because they didn't want to come. Basically, I think that's what happened. We're talking, of course, about the Golden State Warriors. due to protests from one of their top players, Steph Curry, a two-time NBA MVP. MVP? Visible panty line? No, MVP. Oh, that's okay. He's a two-time NBA MVP. Said on Friday that he wouldn't be visiting the White House, a sentiment that he's already held anyway. He's already said this before. He's held it since June. It's been a tradition, of course, for American sports team to visit the White House since 1865, when Andrew Johnson invited an amateur baseball club from, I think it was the Brooklyn Atlantics and the Washington Nationals, to the Capitol, because obviously politicians haven't got anything better to do in times of complete and utter crisis. But why not? It's just another candle on the cake of madness. The first NBA champions to visit the famous building were the Boston Celtics in 1963, with John F. Kennedy extending the invite. It wasn't until Reagan administration that sports teams to Pennsylvania Avenue became a regular occurrence, which has also been extended to college football and hockey champions. Like, why not just get... also, I hear there's a Tiddlywinks championship and a draft, and also Celia down at the Bridge Club. Let's bring her in. She did well last week. What is this? It's supposed to be a White House. It's supposed to be where they make decisions and do stuff, but it doesn't seem to be doing that. Well, I don't know if it's really ever done a very good job of it, but of late, it's just an absolute debacle. However, due to the nature of Curry's refusal to visit the White House, Trumpkin has withdrawn the invitation, personally attacking the athlete on Twitter, because he's Donald Trump. That's what he does. Loves a shout, loves a rant, loves some capital letters, and loves banging it out on Twitter. He said, going to the White House is considered a great honour for a championship team. Stephen Curry is hesitating. Therefore, invitation is withdrawn. He wasn't hesitating. He wasn't going to come. There was no hesitation. He was never going to come. He said he wasn't going to come. He doesn't like you. He doesn't like all the crap that you stand for. He didn't want to come. And I think he's fantastic for saying so. Well done him. You can't take back an invitation because someone says they don't want to come. That's like asking a girl out for a drink, and as soon as she says, I can't really, good, because I didn't want to go for a drink with you anyway. And also, you smell of poo, and your mother is fat, so, and let that be a lesson to you. I'll go to the pub with someone more attractive, who, yes, what? Goodbye. LeBron James has stepped in on this when he called Trump a bum, which is a weird thing to call him. I can think of so many better things. Prick, idiot, racist, lunatic, misogynist, sexual assaulter, greedy bastard. I mean, I sleep thinking about this every day. But you bum, he said. He said, Stephen Curry already said he ain't going, so therefore it ain't no invite. Going to the White House was a great honour. Until you showed up. Zing-a-ding-a-ding-dong. So that will hurt his little ego, no doubt. It's unclear if Trump has withdrawn just Curry's invite or the entire team. Regardless, the Warriors have responded in a statement expressing their disappointment. Curry's also said, I have no idea why Trump withdrew the invite, but it's just kind of beneath, I think, a leader of our country to go that route. It's not what leaders do. Trump continued to criticise other sports stars on Twitter, later aiming his attack at NFL players who have chosen to kneel in an act of protest during the national anthem before the games. The show of defiance was started by former 49ers quarterback Colin, unpronounceable last name. Yeah, Trump's got his knickers in a massive knot. They're big knickers, over this one. Really, really obsessed with it. I think it's a case of, keep your eye on that while I do something over here. Don't worry about my tax returns. I never colluded with Russia. I think it's a classic case of, I'll start shouting at NFL stars and every other athlete I can think of. While I do that, you won't be thinking about Russia and the fact that there was almost definitely collusion and there's a grand jury looking into it. During the campaign, the fact that I keep saying sexist things, the fact that I only employ billionaires that happen to be white, with a very occasional discrepancy here and there, and the fact that I am a turbo douche. When I was reading this week, I was reading it on the BBC website, who said, and I love the fact that this happens, it said, Trump offends NFL owners. Below, watch the video. please be aware, some of the content you may find disrespectful and offensive. It's the pissing president. Of course I will. Just looking at his face does that. I love that. When did that ever happen before? You know? Oh, Justin Trudeau has made a statement. But do be careful. You might be offended by it. Because he swears in it. The statement in question, by the way, was,
wouldn't you love to see one of those NFL owners when somebody disrespects our flag to say, get that son of a bitch out of the field right now. Out. He's fired. He's fired.
Yeah. Get that son of a bitch off the field right now. I don't know if it's that offensive. It can't be that bad because I'm saying it now. But it was starred out. You know, where they do that. It was starred out when they quoted it in various news sites. But, you know, he can say it. And he can say anything. And he does say anything. He just says whatever's in his mind. I think it was this week that he called Kim Jong-un a rocket man, which I'm pretty sure pissed off Elton John enormously. When we come back, I'm going to have a chat with Amanda Capito. She's in London, although she's not here, which isn't very helpful. I'm in London, she's in London, but we couldn't organise ourselves in the same time at the same place. So we'll find out where she is, what she's doing, all that kind of stuff. Why she's here again? Does she love me? Hmm? She says she comes here for work. I think we can all see that she loves me. Amanda, hello, mate.
Hi, mate.
You're right, you sound a little bit tired of normal. You're starting to feel run down.
I'm in England and I'm jet lagged.
Welcome back. I know you can't stay away. I think we can all see that you're desperately in love with me and you need to come back here on a regular basis.
Sure, you can take it that way if that's what makes you feel happy.
I always do. Actually, I suppose we should probably tell people why you're here. As well as being the cutting-edge vocal wonder that she is, she also has got a normal job working for a charity, and it involves quite a bit of international travel, doesn't it?
It does indeed, and our head offices are here in London, so I'm here for a string of meetings this week.
Yeah, now can we get together? Actually, I don't know if we can. We might have really cocked up. I'm going to Barcelona on Tuesday.
Yep, we're not going to be able to see each other.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Well, we've messed this one up. Were you not free? Oh, I'd only have tomorrow night. Yeah, it's not going to happen, is it?
No.
Before you do this, is there anything you need to get off your chest? Because I know not most times you come over to England, you always say, I like it, but... And then you insert some form of complaint. Anything this time that you want to moan about?
Well, there's just one thing, and it doesn't have to do with England itself. It just has to do with flights. And I feel like we could all relate to this, but my flight over, we had a baby on the flight, fresh out of the womb, on the plane. I will never understand why people fly with newborns. Why do this to the
usually
baby?
Usually on those start moaning on the way up, and then they usually sleep for a fair chunk, and then it's a nightmare when you're coming down again. Was that the case?
Exactly, yeah. And I just have to wonder why. You know, what is the pressing need for them to have... They were clearly from England coming to Canada. So were they visiting family? And if they were, why can't the family visit you? But realistically, you're the one with the baby. Why are you being forced to get on the plane? And if, okay, let's say there's elders that can't fly, then you know what? You wait till the baby is almost one and then you take him, you know? You don't do it when they're 2 months old or like... You can't do it at this young of an age. It's insane.
Well, kind of. You know, they're free until they're two. You've still got to have a little baby passport, so you've got to pay for that. It doesn't cost you any extra money, and babysitters cost a lot of money, so I think a lot of it's financial. They probably don't actually really want to be with the little screaming thing most of the time, but yeah. What you're implying is perhaps there should be a rule where at least you get to ask, so you can go up with like a clipboard and go, okay, no grandparents? Did it have to come? And then you get
it have to come. It's an it.
Yeah. So you can then be judge and jury, and then like maybe you could hand out a fine and say, sorry, that's not good enough. I'm afraid I'm going to have to charge you 100 Canadian.
I actually think, the clipboard situation would be interesting, but really what I think is that the people in the proximity of the baby, like everyone's seat that's touching the baby seat, needs to get an extra glass of alcohol on the plane ride.
That sounds perfectly reasonable. Yeah.
Right?
And if you're next to someone that's teetotal, then you get two. But maybe you've managed to organise a whole flight full of Mormons, you'll come off absolutely smashed.
Yeah. There you go.
That'd be good. You know, the thing that bothers me, actually, you ever notice this? When you're flying, particularly the transatlantics, because they're quite long, you can't hold a bodily function for that long. So what you tend to find is, obviously we all know that it's awful to be next to the toilet. That's a sort of given. But one of the things I often find is, if it's not screaming babies when you're landing, the adjustment in everyone's gut and the air pressure means there's a few little phantom farters.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? And sometimes
that.
On the way up as well, it's always the way up and the way down, there's a lot of air biscuits floating around and someone is to blame, and I'm not sure who it is.
It's definitely you.
The one who's.
I don't know how much you want to get into this, but we all know that that good old Vin was contributing to those air biscuits, as you call them.
I blame the food. Obviously, it's not my fault in any way, shape, or form. I'm a very gaseous man, I'm very gaseous. Are we at the point? I haven't seen you for a while. Are we at the point where I fart in front of you yet?
Oh yeah, we've passed that long time.
How long did it take us to get there?
Well, I think burping was the first step.
I think that was half an hour.
Yeah. And then, passing gas, I don't know, maybe a year.
What a benchmark. I wish we'd have got some sort of certificate and framed it.
I should have had it. Like, we should have solidified it.
Exactly.
I deserve jewelry at that stage.
Sounds weird when you say I want to solidify a fart. That's I don't know if that's possible, but it sounds definitely weird. Can I point out that obviously I like you more than you like me, and I put far more effort into our friendship, because I don't think I've ever heard you do a little trouser toot.
I don't know, it's just never, I don't think it's ever had to happen. If it had to, I think it might, but I clearly don't have the same sort of gastrological issues as you do. Is that the word?
It'll do. Yeah, it'll do. I had a bit of a weird one this week, speaking of embarrassment. I came out of a shop and a guy held a door open for me.
Yeah.
And I meant to say, thanks, dude. But I tripped over my words and I don't know what I was thinking, but I said, thanks, dad. And he looks at me. Most people in London, as you know, just get on with their lives. But he actually pulled me up on it and he goes, sorry, did you just call me dad? And I went, yes, I did do that. And it was even more awkward because he's the sort of age where he could have been my dad. And maybe there was just like a 1% chance he'd lost a child 40 odd years ago. And maybe he was thinking, well, this is about bloody time. But it was a very weird exchange. It's like when you call, do you remember when you were at school and you used to call your teacher mum accidentally?
Yes, that's right.
Incredibly embarrassing.
That all the time. Oh, you're still doing it as a grown man. Wow.
I'm not. I'm still getting over it, actually. It really ripped me up inside. Are you doing anything touristy?
No, last time I was here, I went to see Aladdin. So that was my last touristy thing I wanted to check off. So I'm feeling
pretty... You went for a tour of Buckingham Palace, didn't you?
Yeah, so I've done London justice, I think.
Yeah. Oh, I went to I see what you mean now. I went to I'll just keep talking and we'll ignore it. I went to a drum and bass festival yesterday. And it was really good. It was called Hospitality in the Park. Hospitality is a record label of some sort of heavy drum and bass. Drum and bass, by the way, for those that are quite perfectly allowed to not know what it is, it's kind of like hard, skippy techno that makes you dance like a wild man. And yeah, I went with a few buddies. It was a proper festival. I had the wellies on and the big plastic boots on, rather, and all that stuff. Here's my problem with it. I've always had a problem with festivals where you have to buy tokens before you can get a beer, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't tend to do that in England. And for years in Canada, I've been saying, well, you wouldn't get this in England. Well, now you do get that in England, right? How annoying is this? First of all, you have to queue up to get your tickets, your tokens, like those little bits of cardboard, then they become the currency that you can spend at the bar, right? So I've sort of got probably about I think it was £7.50 worth of tokens left. It's 9:30, 9:30 p.m., and the festival's finishing. I go to the bar. They're like, "Nah, we stopped selling beer. Stopped it half an hour ago at 9. I was like, well, what am I going to do with these tokens that are worthless outside this venue? And they're like, "Oh, you can buy £7.50's worth of water and take it home." Oh, thanks.
That's how it goes.
Not happy with that.
I know, but this is how they get you. It's all part of the model.
It's a great scam, isn't it? Because there must have been hundreds of people left with a pocket full of tokens that are completely worthless.
Yes, unbelievable. And Toronto Festival of Beer, which is a big event that happens usually in mid-July. And that's exactly how they function as well. And I love it. I go every year, and we're actually sponsors, I think, as of on Newstalk 1010. So it's a great festival, but it's just a known fact. I'm sorry, this is just fact. Yeah. I do not mean to speak badly of the festival, but the festival, the way the liquor licenses work is that it has to close. I think they stop serving beer at maybe 10:30, which is fairly early. And there's always people running around with fistfuls of tokens, not knowing what to do with them. You end up finding them on the floor. There's people shelling them off. I this year had people just giving me handfuls, saying, "Do you want these?" as they're leaving. I'm like, "Well, there's 5 minutes left. I guess I'll take them, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to use them either."
And you can't take the booze home either, no?
You can't take the booze home. You can buy food with them, which is what everyone ends up doing. Then they start running because the food is open a little bit later than the booze. So then everyone starts running to the food and trying to, but then the food starts selling out. I was trying to get a pulled pork sandwich this year, sold out. I was going, "What the heck? I got tokens up for grabs."
I really hope that no one's listening to us in Africa right now.
This is such a first world problem. I am acknowledging this is the worst first world problem, but it is real.
Okay. My Thai green curry up to the very last minute.
I just want to be able to use the tokens. That's all.
That's right. Cool. Exactly. If you're listening in Africa, sorry, we're evil. You can balance it back out because you work for a charity. So you're actually allowed to be a bit naughty every now and then because your day job is making the world a better place. Whereas my day job appears to be talking bollocks into a microphone. But aren't I good at it? So just to clear up that, the Toronto Beer Festival, which is sponsored by Newstalk 1010, is the best thing in the world ever, and everyone should go, yeah?
100%. I go every year.
Good. All right, well, I'm going to let you go, darling, because I know you need to hit the sack. You've probably got that five-hour time shift wobble.
Yes, so you know it well.
Well, yeah, I'm really sorry I can't get to see you. I'm gutted. But a friend, funnily enough, from Canada, I don't think you've met her, phoned me up. I beat this one. She phoned me up last week, and she goes, "Hiya, you're in England at the moment, right?" And I'm like, yeah. And how rock and roll is this? She goes, "Want to see the Stones on Wednesday in Barcelona? I've got free tickets because my friend was supposed to go. She's let me down. You can come and stay in my hotel and I'll give you Stones ticket. And I'll give you Stones tickets and we can go out for dinner and all the rest of it."
That's a pretty sweet deal. And then when you're in London, I mean, a flight over to the next country is it's peanuts. So it's less than you would have probably spent on the ticket. So it's a good get.
Oh, yeah, here's one for you. The other day, I had to go to Bristol, which is about 2.5 hours by train from London, on quite a fast train.
Yeah.
Have a guess how much a daytime return ticket is.
£20?
You better hold on to something. £146.
What?
I know.
You can go to Belgium for cheaper.
You can totally go to Belgium. You can go to Greece. You can go to... I genuinely mean this. As long as you book the right time, you can go to any European country for cheaper than that.
That's insane.
I know. Thankfully, someone else was paying for it. It was a work thing. But my God, I nearly had a heart attack. I felt like saying, "Lads, next time, don't book me that ticket and don't pay for it. I'll go by coach for like £20 and you can pay me the difference. Great."
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
For those listening in Canada, the benefit of living in England, as Amanda said, is that you can travel anywhere for cheap. Unless you're in England, in which case it's not like that at all. Darling, sleep well. Have you got any company or is it just you and a pillow?
It's just me and a pillow, the way I like it.
All right, well, I'm sorry I can't see you, but I'll catch you soon. Maybe we'll have a chat next week and see how our weeks went.
Sounds good.
Big love. Enjoy London.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Nearly called her mum. Nearly said bye, mum.
Oh my God, that would actually have worked given the topic we talked about.
Exactly. Bye, mum. Let's get straight into it. Last week, I called my buddy Johnny Boy, an Englishman living with his beautiful Canadian wife. Well, actually not yet. I was a bit premature on that. His beautiful Canadian girlfriend in Kelowna. And the reason I called you, John, is because I wanted a bit of an update on the fires. Last week, you said they were still burning. Yeah. How's it going now, mate? And how are you?
Well, to be honest with you, hats off to the fire brigade. You know what? They've done a bloody good job. The fire service out here have put out, I would say, they don't say they put it out. They say they've contained the fire here. But they've contained a hell of a lot of it. And the good news is that what was once a backcountry ban, it was called, it was a fire ban. So no one could go into the backcountry and, like, have a fire, go camping, that sort of thing. That's all been lifted. So what they call the Crown Lands are now open, which is really good because it's the hunting season that's just kicked off here in this part of the world. So everyone's looking forward to getting out and about, bit of hiking, bit of camping, and, yeah, it's good. So, as we said, hats off to the fire brigade.
Well done them. So last week, yeah, it was only a week ago, you were saying you were looking across the river, you could see the orange glow. You said that it was quite a smoky situation going on. Sometimes you were short for breath. All that now behind us, is it?
Totally behind us. You know what? The weather's also changed here. As you know, the weather changes real quick here. It's almost as if sometimes someone flicks a switch. So what's happened is it's officially fall or autumn, whatever you want to call it. We'll have to figure that one out at another stage as well. But yeah, it's changed. It's come, I'll say the temperature's gone down by about 10 degrees or so. We've had a little bit of rain here and there, which has been really good. Fall is in the air.
I'm not sure I'll ever be able to speak to you again. I just want to run something back that you just said. The weather changes real quick. You used to say, less than 2 years ago, really quickly. What's happened?
I've become Canadianised. I feel I must apologise for the actions of my English.
If you wouldn't mind, just ask her to pop your seatbelt open and drive into the nearest tree. Is that right?
What about if I ask her for a slap on the chops?
Actually, that's probably more appropriate. Yeah, go for that.
Yeah, you know what you've just done, don't you?
Keep an eye on it, Maria. Yeah. You don't. Even Maria doesn't say real quick. She has the decency, as a proud Newfoundlander, to not have murdered her language, and she says really quickly.
It's true, Vinny, I do. I'll keep honest case. You know, I'm honest case for almost everything these days, so I have to let some things go.
we'll rephrase this. The weather has changed very quickly.
Good and try. We can see snow.
Oh yes, stop the press. First snow has now fallen above, I think it's 1,600 metres, on Big White, so everyone is also now getting geared up for the ski season instantly, or snowmobiling season, snow bike season, so a lot to look forward to.
But to keep in mind, it's still 20 degrees in town, snow up on the hill.
Oh, it's just an absolute playground for the fun lovers, isn't it, Kelowna, and the whole of the West?
Yeah, exactly. And why not? Is it wrong? I don't think so.
No, good for you. I'm just jealous sometimes because I always have the same conversation here in London. I'm like, oh, yeah, actually, I kind of live in Canada.
Yeah.
And they always go, oh, my God, it must be beautiful, the mountains. And I'm like, yeah, it's actually quicker and cheaper to get here than it is to the mountains from where I am. So it's just jealousy, yeah. John. I might have to come and see you soon, actually.
You'd be more than welcome. But can I just ask a little bit of a difference? I mean, obviously, I'm from that part of the world as well, but I never, ever had a problem running into a grizzly bear in Muswell Hill or a cougar in Kensington. I did run into plenty of cougars in Kensington. I apologise. I should say puma for the listeners in England.
I think you might find a few moose in Manchester as well if you look hard enough.
I've no doubt they're there.
Now, you've just taught me something, actually. Can I be completely honest with you? I actually genuinely didn't know that a cougar was a puma. I thought they were two different things.
Cougar, puma, mountain lion. They're all the same animals and the same thing. Actually, I ran across another animal scenario this last week. Someone said to me, what's your favourite horoscope? Or what do you call it? A star sign, yeah?
Yeah.
And it's like Sagittarius, which is a this, and a Gemini, which is a whatever. And this guy said dinosaur. Hey, what the hell do you mean dinosaur? They don't exist. He says, well, none of the bloody star signs exist, so why can't I be a dinosaur? So from now on, my official star sign is T-Rex.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, that's good. But that's the other thing with stars. When you actually physically look at the constellations, like, does the plough really look like a plough? You know?
Well, actually, you call it the plough, but some call it Ursula Major, which is also the Big Bear or the Big Dipper, whatever you want. So yeah,
isn't
I mean,
that the one? Actually, yeah, that's a really good example. Isn't that also the? Is it that the frying pan? Is that the same thing?
The frying pan. Yes, you're damn right. So I mean, come on, get your story straight, people.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was, you know, let's do this. I can see a T-Rex. I mean, everyone sees something in something. I see a picture of a dolphin in the clouds, and people think I'm crazy.
In fairness, you do take a lot of acid.
Well, maybe, yeah. And then there's Canadian, then there's the Canadian beer I've been drinking for a few years, so I could be slightly off.
Yeah, no, I think you're onto something. I might copy that. Right, ask me what star sign I am.
What star sign are you, Vinny?
Labrador.
But that's not a real one.
That's not real, yeah, that's not real.
Yeah, that can't the rest exist. Of them.
No, exactly. I rest my case. I think I'll put that forward.
I'm already a Pastafarian, because that's how I feel about religion.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Pastafarian, I like it.
Pleased to hear it. When are you going skiing then?
Funnily enough, we just bought, in this part of the world, we can buy a Canada Ski Pass ticket. You get 20 tickets and you can go to very many different ski hills out and around about the area. So most of the time this year, we'll probably be at Big White, which we know you enjoy and love as well. Mm. We shall also be taking ourselves up to Silver Star.
And
Revelstoke. So two or three good hills, real local, within a couple of hours of Kelowna.
Really local.
Yeah, within a couple of hours. I think that's another difference, right? I remember being in London and people would say, oh, what are you going to drive to? I don't know, Basingstoke. Not that many people drive to Basingstoke, but that would have been about an hour and a half drive. It's a bloody long way away. People go shopping here for a two-hour drive.
I met a guy that lived on Manantoulin Island, and he said to get to Sudbury takes him about 4 to 5 hours.
That's a very natural place to go if you're going to leave Manantoulin Island. Why would you ever want to go anywhere?
Yeah. I met him in Toronto, and he says, this city freaks me out. I said, I bet it does. My God. So there you are. Oh, well, I'm very jealous. I'm glad you're having a good time. Actually, I can rub it in your face a bit, though. You might be going and mix... I'm going to Barcelona to watch the Rolling Stones this week.
Oh, that's great.
I think you've got a little bit of the green envy on this end here now.
Yeah. Do you know what? Older pop groups that are out and still touring, is it wrong? I don't know. Rolling Stones, yeah, for sure. But would you go and see Cliff Richards? Is he still alive?
I wouldn't see him, but that's irrelevant to his age. He's just not my cup of tea. I think the only way I can get through it is with a cup of vodka, in fact.
I think I could sell that out.
Are you genuinely jealous of me going to see the Stones?
Yes, I am.
Actually, before I go, can you give us your best ever Mick Jagger?
Pleased to meet you. I hope you guessed my name. Hello, mate.
Can you do it like him? Because I think it's a lot of high and low. It's almost like he's on a roller coaster permanently.
I don't think it's a roller coaster he was on permanently, mate.
Yeah, he was definitely on an upper, yeah. Thanks, mate. Nice checking in. I'm glad the fires are out. Congratulations. Yeah. Enjoy the snow as it comes down and the heat and living in the lap of luxury with wineries all around you. And don't forget that I hate you both.
Okanagan lifestyle. Love, peace to the universe.
Thanks so much to Johnny Boy and Maria live from Kelowna in their car. Looking at the first snowfalls. Also, thanks, since we're coming to the end of the program, to my sister and her lovely offspring that are my niece and nephew, very young. And I'll try and tell them that life's a little bit more important than looks. She's only 5. I think she equates looks with ability, but I will make sure that she doesn't grow up to continue that belief as much as an uncle can influence. But she was just absolutely lovely today talking about what she thinks of politicians. Maybe one day she'll be one and we'll play that back to her. And thank you to Amanda Capito, who's live, who I spoke to earlier on from London. And thank you to you for listening. It's been a fantastic show. I've really enjoyed tonight. I normally do. It's an absolute privilege and honour to bring you this show. There was one thing I wanted to get to, which was, I think I queued it up at the beginning. I said I wanted to talk about spam and how to deal with it. Don't fear, we will look into that next week, but I'm full out of time now. What can I leave you with? Oh, I should probably do a little cheeky plug. I always like to. Mr. Photo Canvas gets your photograph or artwork and puts it on canvas, and it's got nothing to do with me whatsoever. MrPhotoCanvas.com. MrPhotoCanvas.com. Your photo on canvas. There you go. I've got to wedge it in. Shoehorned it in at the end. Take care. See you next week. I'll be doing the show yet again. It's always happening from 9 through till 10 here on News Talk 1010 Toronto. Next week, live from Barcelona, as I'm in Spain for a few days. And obviously, I don't have any money whatsoever, but I am having a damn good life. So if I pop off whilst eating some tapas, then I'll know that I died very broke, but very well travelled. Thinking of you, Toronto. I hope you're having a fantastic time there, and I will speak to you soon. Get in touch. Twitter, Vinny White, and all the usual stuff. Go to vinnywhite.co.uk if you want to do that. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Night.
This is the Vinny White Show on In Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.